Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will hear a cover song recorded live by the well-known leader of the world's most celebrated jam band and his good friend, an organist that helped the jam band leader get back into music after he suffered a dangerous diabetic coma. For our little slice of heaven at number 7, we will appreciate an instrumental guitar track by the Native American musician that directly inspired legendary British guitarists Pete Townshend and Jimmy Page. Later, we will present a selection by a group that has hit number 1 on the American LP charts 8 times. The song that we will hear, though, was not included as a track on any of those number 1 albums. It was the flip side to one of their rare singles. Finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we will examine a majestic single by a band that had its name from the somewhat cramped living quarters they rented while recording their first album in Los Angeles. Just as we do each week, we come crashing into this week's countdown with a selection that, at some point during its chart life, was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a one-week peak and then became very unnecessary. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we break in with a single that went to number 1 in Denmark, twice. Vocalist Martin Gore originally composed this song as a slow ballad, but then it was overhauled into its final synthesizer form by his bandmate, Alan Wilder. That reworking certainly worked, as the song ultimately went on to win the Brit Award for Best British Single in 1991.
Oh, my little girl.
On its way up to number 8, That was Depeche Mode, the synthesizer act that, in their early days, included my favorite synthesizer player, Vince Clarke. Their greatest chart successes, though, were realized after Vince left the group. At number 20, we have a cover song that was recorded by the temporary teaming of the godfather of jam band guitar and his good friend, a jazz and fusion organist that recorded for the Berkeley-based label, Fantasy Records. Back in 1968, San Mateo native Merle Saunders and his trio released an underground album called Soul Grooving. While it was not a huge success, it led him to friendships with Tom Fogerty of Creedence Clearwater Revival and Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead. In fact, Garcia and Saunders got along so well that they formed a side project, playing some live gigs and even recording together. Their shows at the famous Keystone Club in Berkeley were captured and released on the Fantasy label. We think that a cover song from those recordings should have been released as a single and should have, at the very least, reached number 20 in Billboard, Cashbox, and Record World. Jerry Garcia, and the close friend that helped him get his guitar skills back after he slipped into a diabetic coma for 5 days, Merle Saunders.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. Back in 1979, the debut single by London-based singer-songwriter Kirsty MacColl shot right up to number 2 on the British Airplay charts, but, strangely, never hit the UK singles chart. At the time, the London press blamed Kirsty's chart oddity on a strike by record distributors, which badly affected her label, Stiff Records. Kirsty herself did not really know what to think, and she, in part, blamed her label. The moment her short contract expired, she left Stiff for Polydor Records and promptly had a top 20 hit. Then, after completing her second album for Polydor, they mysteriously dropped her before releasing it. Right around the same time that Kirsty was let go by Polydor, popular British comedian Tracy Ullman was on the UK chart with a surprise top 20 of her own, Breakaway. Pete Waterman of Loose End Productions was in the middle of a frantic search for a follow-up single for Tracy. Then he thought of Kirsty and her debut song, the one that everybody in radio loved, but nobody bought. To make Tracy's follow-up, Pete's partner in Loose End, Peter Collins, recorded an all-new backing track. He then had Tracy sing the lead and, to give it a girl group sound, called in Kirsty to be one of the backing vocalists. But Kirsty also had a tiny lead vocal on the record as well. When it came time for Tracy to sing the high note during the first syllable of the word baby, she simply could not reach it. So, as a backing vocalist on her own song, Kirsty happily took care of that one word and then watched the single climb up to number 2 in England and number 8 in the United States. This time, a whole lot of people bought it. Featured a cameo by Paul McCartney, that was the single They Don't Know by Tracy Ullman that spent a week at number 11 on its way up to number 8. Incidentally, she got a little help in the studio from her friend, the song's composer, Kirsty McCall. At number 10, we have a single that really did reach number 36 on the Billboard Hot 100, but should have placed at least 26 notches higher. It is by the London-born singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist Martin Briley. After a short stint in the group Mandrake and some session work for acts including the Modern Jazz Quartet and Bonnie Tyler at George Martin's Air Studios, Martin Briley was signed as a solo artist to Mercury Records. He broke through with a video that MTV placed in rotation back in 1983, The Salt in My Tears. I'm that hit number 36, but at the very least should have reached the top 10 in Billboard, Cashbox, and in England. That was Martin Briley and his one and only chart single on Mercury Records, The Salt in My Tears.
Number nine.
At number nine, we have a solo hit by the former member of the Amazing Temptations, David Ruffin. David was born in a small town outside of Meridian, Mississippi in 1941. His mother died when he was only 10 months old. After his father remarried, the family traveled as a gospel singing act. By the time he was 14, David left the act and lived under the guardianship of a minister and his wife, who took him to Memphis to teach him to be a preacher. But David fell in love with the secular music there. He replaced Johnny Taylor in the Soul Stirrers and met other musicians such as Little Richard, Elvis Presley, Bobby Womack, and the Staple Singers. By the time he was 16, it was clear to his guardians that David was meant to sing rhythm and blues. When they moved to Detroit, David went with them. Soon, David was helping Pops Gordy with some construction on the building that would ultimately become Hitsville, USA. Ultimately, David became a member of one of the premier Motown acts, The Temptations. Record fans all over the country could hear him singing lead on such classics as My Girl, Ain't Too Proud to Beg, and I Wish It Would Rain. Unfortunately, not all was well within the group. David sometimes caused friction by traveling separately from the other members. After David missed a performance one night, he was fired and replaced by Dennis Edwards of the Contours. He then sued Motown, who countersued him. As part of the settlement of the long and drawn-out legal proceedings, David was required to finish out the term of his contract with solo releases for the very label that he sued. One of those singles recorded to fulfill his contractual obligation was this top 10 hit.
It's not that I don't love you.
Thank you.
charts and number one on the Soul Survey, that was David Ruffin and Walk Away From Love, produced and engineered by that disco-era arranger that brought the hustle to the dance floor, Van McCoy.
Universe Top 40.
Number 8.
Now we are up to a song that is modern and great and should have reached number 8. It is a poetic story song sung by New York native and UC Santa Cruz graduate Gillian Welch. After Gillian received her undergraduate degree, she spent 2 years at the Berklee School of Music, where she honed her songwriting skills and sometimes played gigs with a good friend of mine, bass guitarist Matt Jackson. Gillian and her primary musical collaborator, David Rawlings, moved to Nashville, landing a deal with a subsidiary of A&M Records. It was only a matter of time until her releases began to make an impact. From 2011, here is one of our favorite Gillian Welch songs, The Way It Goes. Of Heaven at number 7. It is a hybrid instrumental that straddles rockabilly, rhythm and blues, and snap rock, recorded by one of the first guitarists to purposely distort the sound coming out of his amplifier. Fred Lincoln Ray Jr. was born May 2, 1929 in Dunn, North Carolina, to parents that were both of Native American descent. During his younger years, he and his brothers experimented with music. However, Lincoln, who began to use the name Link, entered the military and served during the Korean War between 1950 and 1953. Unfortunately, near the end of his tenure with the military, he contracted tuberculosis, which resulted in one of his lungs being removed. And after devoting himself to his craft, emerged as a true pioneer of the electric guitar. Signed to Cadence Records, Link released the single Ramble, which was banned in New York and Boston in 1958, suspected of inciting riotous behavior. His records sounded different than everything else that was released at the time because the guitar chords were purposely distorted. As time passed, this type of sound became known as a power chord. Not surprisingly, Pete Townsend of The Who acknowledged Link's influence when he told Rolling Stone magazine, quote, "If it hadn't been for Link Ray, I never would have picked up a guitar," close quote. Led Zeppelin's Jimmy Page also drew inspiration from Link Ray, stating that he had a, quote, "real rebel attitude," close quote. After he left Cadence Records, Link recorded for the Epic and Swan labels, and while he never had that next big follow-up to Ramble, he continued to release records and tour. In the early 70s, Link jammed with Quicksilver Messenger Service guitarist John Cipollina, which led to Link giving numerous performances at Bill Graham's Winterland Ballroom. He toured throughout the 70s, cementing his legacy as the father of the power chord. Eventually, though, in the 80s, Link moved to Denmark. At the age of 76, Link passed away of heart failure in Copenhagen. With A Little Slice of Heaven at number 7, here is Link Ray and an obscure track that we believe should have actually reached number 7, Slinky. Messages from all around the world. Kurt from Germany heard our 6070 broadcast on a web SDR from the Netherlands with a 20 meter long wire. He reports 44444 and states that he likes the show very much. He also sends best wishes to us. Well, Kurt, we send our best wishes right back to you, and we hope that you hear many shows you like on shortwave in the future. Luca from Italy heard our 7440 broadcast using his Texon PL660 and an outdoor 16-meter dipole antenna. He reports 35533 and indicates fair to good signal strength without interferences. He sent us an air check, which we certainly appreciate. Well, Luca, we send you our best regards along with continued concern and prayers for everyone in Italy. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, and reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you. Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album charts. Today, we are back to that amazing 4-man album rock act that placed 8 albums into the number 1 position of the U.S. album charts. Their amazing run with number 1 albums started in October 1969 and continued with each album they released through 1979. Our bonus hit today, though, was not included on any of those chart-topping albums. It was the flip side of Immigrant Song, the 1970 single that these hard rockers released on Atlantic Records. Even though it was a B-side, throughout the mid to late 70s, album rock stations such as KSHE St. Louis, WZXR Memphis, and WLUP Chicago gave it right alongside this legendary band's signature future album tracks. That should have been the A-side of a vinyl single and should have reached number six. That was Led Zeppelin featuring guitarist Jimmy Page, the same Jimmy Page that admired Link Wray's rebel attitude.
Number five.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number five, we have the title track to an album that generated, in my opinion, several selections that should have made the top 40 in the United States. It is by a unique vocalist and songwriter that, at various points in his musical journey, straddled several different genres. I have always admired this vocalist's talent and range, dating back to the very first time I caught his band live. One random day, this superb singer happened to drop by a recording session of mine in Memphis. At the time, I was not doing a very good job of laying down my lead vocal. After one particularly rough take, I asked him, half jokingly, but also half seriously, if he wanted to sing it and take over the song. He just laughed and told me I was thinking too much. Just let it rip, he said. That turned out to be great advice. Same vocalist with a song from 1987 that gives more of his great advice to those having relationship troubles.
Sometimes he doesn't decide it. Sometimes he just don't care. She thinks so one-sided. She thinks it's all fair. Kick the
can't quit her. What you want, try, don't let go.
Heroes in Memphis by Don Smith and the ever-present Jack Holder. That was Jimmy Davis and Junction, and the single of Jimmy's that got the greatest amount of airtime on MTV.
Kick the World.
Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to number four, which usually means that we are going to play a single that charted better in England than it did in the United States. Today, however, we have a track from an album that was significantly more successful in the U.S. than it was in the U.K. That album was recorded by two guys that, with each other, have placed three albums into the top 40 of the album charts, with one reaching number two and another reaching number six. But those two, along with a third musician, and sometimes a fourth, also released seven other top 40 albums, with two of them going to number one, and one reaching number two. And Graham Nash.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Full Universe Top 40.
Number three.
Now we are up to our three from way downtown. And today, just like last week, we are talking about downtown Boston, Massachusetts. Back in 1986, three school friends at the Commonwealth School in Boston formed a modern rock act and named themselves the Lemonheads. Following high school, they recorded several low-budget projects for the Tang label and started receiving college radio airplay. But soon, they endured a couple of lineup changes, with the only original member of the band being vocalist and songwriter Evan Dando. After signing with Atlantic, the group released an album that got absolutely nothing, but their second album for the label generated all sorts of airplay.
I've never been too good with names. I know it's probably not my place.
our three from way downtown. Those were the Lemonheads, getting a little help from Juliana Hatfield, and the title track to their breakthrough album on Atlantic, It's a Shame About Red.
Number two.
Now we are up to number two, which means that we are going to play a song that we believe should have hit number one. In the United States, this week's selection came really close, but in the UK, it didn't even make the charts. The song itself was composed by Danbury, Connecticut native and veteran of the U.S. Air Force, Chet Powers. After his stint with the service, Chet took the stage name Dino Valenti and began playing coffee houses and folk clubs in Greenwich Village alongside his contemporaries Fred Neil, Paul Stuckey, David Crosby, and Bob Dylan. He then moved to Los Angeles, correctly guessing that the folk rock scene was more vibrant in L.A. One of the first songs that he wrote after relocating was a song that he called Let's Get Together. A relatively new group called the Youngbloods heard the song and immediately covered it for an RCA single release in 1967. The single had lukewarm response, stalling out at number 62. Meanwhile, Chet, still using the name Dino Valenti, teamed up with some Bay Area musicians and formed Quicksilver Messenger Service, sometimes playing Chet's song that had been released by the Youngbloods. Then, a year and a half later, disc jockey Dan Ingram at WABC in New York chose the Youngbloods version of Chet's song as background music during a promotional announcement for Brotherhood. That led to the song being licensed for use in television commercials sponsored by the National Council of Christians and Jews. RCA immediately re-released the single, titled simply as Get Together, and it shot straight up to number four in Cashbox, number five in Billboard, and number four in Record World. Sadly, even after having written such a wonderful song, Chet's own career never really took off. While awaiting trial for one drug arrest, he was arrested again, and in desperation to raise money for legal defense, sold his rights in Get Together to the Kingston Trio's manager. Nevertheless, Chet was convicted and served a portion of his 1 to 10 year sentence at Folsom Prison. Upon his early release, he went back to Quicksilver and was their primary writer for several albums. As much as the Bay Area press liked those releases, none of them were as universally acclaimed as the song that Chet sold to pay his attorneys, Get Together.
Thank you.
song that should have hit number one in Billboard, Cashbox, Record World, and in England, those were the Youngbloods and their version of the Chet Powers classic, Get Together. To our Hall of Perfection track at number one. It is a beautiful mid-tempo melodic rock song that seemed to come out of nowhere back in the late 80s. In reality, it's caught from the talented songwriting pen of Neil Finn, the former lead singer of Split Enz and later a member of Fleetwood Mac. Neil Finn grew up in New Zealand to parents that instilled an admiration of music, even conducting sing-alongs at the family piano. With his older brother, Tim, Neil began performing music at a young age. Both Finn brothers were multi-instrumentalists, and they genuinely enjoyed making music together. But Tim was a little bit older than Neil and left his younger brother behind when he went to boarding school. Neil knew by age 12 that he wanted to be a musician. However, his own band as a teen, After Hours, did not last long. His older brother Tim came to his rescue and drafted the younger Neil into his new group, Split Enz. Neil flourished in Split Enz, writing their biggest hit, a song that we played several months ago on Alt Universe Top 40, I Got You. After touring and recording for 7 years, Split Enz broke up. Neil then formed a new band called The Malays. The new group relocated to a rental home in Los Angeles in order to get right to the business of recording their first album at Sunset Sound. During those sessions, producer Mitchell Froom used Neil Finn's melodic talent to paint a majestic rock song that was both unique and familiar. With our Hall of Perfection track at number one, here are The Malays, who, just prior to releasing this masterpiece, gave themselves a new name based upon their somewhat small accommodations in Los Angeles, Crowded House.
There's a home.
Sonic Perfection track at number one. That was Paul Howley, vocal and rhythm guitar, Nick Humor on bass, Paul Hester on drums, Tim Pierce on lead guitar, and Mitchell Froom on keyboard, collectively credited as Crowded House, and a song that seems to be literally loved by everyone that has ever heard it, Don't Dream It's Over. I must thank Marie McMullen for doing such a fine job hosting the show last week. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email address to john@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.